Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Sitting up there jacked
up Pepsi. I'm there for the pack out. You just got to pack me in.
Committed to the bow early on. Like, I love getting close and putting up.
You cover a range of stuff on here too, right? Like,
we call this the THP world headquarters.
You know, my grandpa Roy Weatherby.
I came into like that golden little pocket where there was like four or five different bowls. Just,
you're Canadian? We're doing a Canadian podcast.
My name's Douglas Bode.
I'm Robbie Denning.
Roy Gandy.
Thumb, kind of, if you take your thumb and you put your thumb up to it like this here, and you kind of measure, the width, basically, with your thumb, you're not measuring the whole width of the reed, like from the edge here to here. You just want to know this part here to here. So what you're feeling for is the actual frame that's inside there, because there'll be an aluminum frame in there. I wonder if I have one not built. Just give me one sec here. Okay, so here's a frame. That's what the frame looks like. So what you're measuring for is this outside edge here to here. And you're basically using your thumb to do that. And of course, you're going to have tape on it. So you got to take that into it a little bit. But if your thumb fits pretty even with that, that's the size frame you're going to be. If all of a sudden you put your thumb up to, say, here, I'm going to pull this one apart.
Yeah, because I know for me, starting out, if I didn't have the right reed size, I put one on and then I could almost make every noise right out of the gate, versus others you get a lot of air getting past and it gets harder. It feels you're like really laboring for even cow calls.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you can see this one here. Obviously my thumb is way, way bigger than what this one is. So this would, like, if I throw this one in my mouth, it gets lost up in my palate because I have a really not high palate, but it's flat and wide. So that's why when I throw this one in, you know, this one fits my thumb pretty good to where the frame would be.
Awesome.
So that's kind of one quick thing you can do at the store. Just put your thumb up to it and have a quick look. And what I do is, you know, press on the tape so that you can definitely see where the frame is. That's how wide it's going to be. So
perfect.
So yeah, that's kind of just a quick little gauge. I mean, everybody's thumb is a little bit different size, but once you do it a couple times, you're going to see exactly what I mean. And you're going to be like, okay. And then from there, while you're at home, take your thumb, so you know how big your thumb is, put it up in your palate like that, like literally touch the roof of your mouth, and then go side to side. So, and what you want, like on me, I have about an eighth of an inch on each side. When I go back and forth, my thumb isn't touching my upper molars instantly. I have to go back and forth a little bit. So that's going to give you a really good idea. You know, as soon as you go to the store now and put your thumb up to it and go, okay, well, dang, that's going to be pretty close. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it'll save you $15, you know, buying one just to go, get it home and go, man, that thing doesn't even fit. Yeah. What a waste of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, for sure. That's a great tip. Okay. So now let's talk a little bit about the bull sounds, you know, everyone's favorite. Like, I feel like everybody, as soon as they pick up a bugle tube, they just want to rip. They just want to rip bugles and rip, you know, chuckles and all this stuff. But let's just start out basically from the basics of, like, now that we learn how to make, you know, make sounds with our reed, we know how to make cow sounds, calf sounds. We know how to apply the bugle tube. Let's talk a little bit about how we make the bull sounds.
Okay.
And so, we don't need to go through them. I think, you know, just the regular bugle, and then later on, at the, you know, in the next very end, we'll maybe just apply a chuckle. And I think that's probably good, you know, an overload for everybody. Like I said,
yeah,
it's going to take a lifetime to learn, you know, lip balls and all these advanced calls.
Oh, yeah. So what I'll show you, it's something we call the siren. It takes you from making a tone on this reed to being able to have a cow sound and a bull sound. So the siren is you just put it on your tongue, you go all the way up to a high note, and then you come all the way back down. And you take a big breath when you're doing it. So clean your spit. Big breath in, feel your diaphragm, and then I want you to do this. Basically, start very low, go up to a high note, come all the way back down, end at that low note again. So, and then from there, to get the cow sound, you start shortening it. So you just start squishing it down. So. So see how I took this iron? I just squished it right down to a cow call.
It's nice to gauge it, how you gauge it there, like on a linear scale, because then you can really, you can really get an understanding from your hand how you're applying pressure and then when you're coming back down from that pressure as well.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of the key to it. Now, everybody says, well, how do you get a bugle out of that? So remember, you're taking it up to the high note. From there, don't come back down. Now just end it with a with your voice. So it's,
which was the, yeah. And then that part I found, like, that making that grunting noise.
Yeah.
You know, I just practiced making that grunting noise with the reed, like just the regular, just making that. And then, cause I really struggled getting that out of the end of that sequence. So you're going up high, coming down, and then like throwing that out there, just like dropping it, you know, like a mic drop. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So kind of practice it without the reed even. Just, you know, force yourself to go, rah, rah. You know, some people can't do it. You know, I go to trade shows and I do seminars all the time, and I get the crowd to do the grunt with me. And, you know, I'll say, okay, look, do a grunt. Rah. And they're, rah, you know, very wimpy. Yeah, yeah. It's like, throw it out there. It's like, get into it. Like, rah. use your rough voice inside. Like, rah. So.
Yeah. And I feel like this is something. It's definitely like any other muscle. You have to train it, right? And that's why I kind of wanted to start talking about these in February rather than talk about them, you know, when everybody usually does in the middle of August, 2 weeks away from the season. Because like any other muscle, you have to train it. And if you have to keep it up, and if you don't train it, you're going to, it's not going to work as good. And not only that, it's going to get tired. And if it's getting tired, then it's going to sound not as great. It's going to sound shitty, right? It's just like training, you know, like, training for a marathon or you know, training for a bench press or anything, you have to keep it up year round. You can't just, you know, not do it. Or same as shooting your bow. You can't just pull it out of your closet and expect to be great at it again, right? You have to constantly work at it, constantly, you know, just keep the muscles in shape.
Yeah. The way I look at it, you got a partner that you're going out there elk hunting with for the most part. You don't want them to have to do all the calling. You want to be able to do your part and call for them as well. So you got to, like you say, you got to take the reed out, you got to put the work in, and you got to practice with it. Wear 5 or 6 of these out before even hunting season comes. You know, like they don't last forever. It's like going to Tim Hortons, buying a coffee in the morning. This is your coffee in the morning. You know, just think of it that way. If you can wear 5 or 6 of these out by the time, you know, September rolls around, you're going to be well on your way to being a pretty good caller. So going into that siren, going back to it, going to changing to the bugle. So the siren goes up and then back down. So with your bugle, just go all the way up and, like say, end it with a rrr. And that's all you have to do. That's a perfect location bugle right there on its own. So you add that to a tube. Now you got a bugle, and if there's a bull out there within earshot and he hears you, good chance you're going to get a reply from that.
Mm-hmm. So how does that differ from like a challenge bugle?
So a challenge bugle would be more, you'd go more into like a growl. Advertising bugle has more of a growl on it. So there's different stages. So you got a location bugle.
No.
And then an advertising bugle would be growly. Because the advertising bugle, you're trying to sound awesome for the ladies. And then going into your challenge bugle, you'd be more aggressive. I'm going to switch to a different reed because I'm going to push harder on it. So you're going to press harder on it. You're going to scream more into it. And you're going to be a lot more aggressive. So keep in mind, in the elk language, longer calls is nice and relaxed and nothing going on. As soon as you start making shorter and shorter calls, they get more aggressive. So
the cadence of the call. So like,
yes.
You're what you mean? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. Think of it as an emotional level. Normally they start out at emotion zero, you know, mm-hmm. nothing going on, just cow talk, location bugles, you know, talking to one another. But if a bull comes into another guy's territory and he's closer to him, his bugle is going to be a lot more aggressive, a lot more sharp, and a lot shorter because he's talking to that bull as if that bull has cows. You know, it's just like you and me going out and I see you got a pretty girlfriend and maybe I want to see if I can have a crack at her or whatever. I'm going to challenge you to, you know, to a fight kind of thing is, you know, what Joel Turner talks about. Guys going to the bar all the time and watching bar fights. So it's basically things start getting more aggressive and heated. And that's how the elk language kind of goes, you know, it goes level.
Gotcha.
So basically it would be, you get more aggressive with it. You're pressing harder on it. I'm pressing more air out. Throw your voice in a little bit more. You can do the growl or you can do a lip ball. It doesn't really matter. Just the trick is be more aggressive and hammer it out there and end with that little, like, almost like it's ferocious sounding at the end. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
That's more of a challenge bugle. So.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So now let's put this all together. So let's talk a little bit about what calls to use and when to use them. So let's just start with, I think maybe we'll just go through the same sequence we did building up to where we are now. Let's talk about like cow and calf calls. When's a good time to use those and when's not a good time?
So good time for a cow and calf is all year round. They're doing normal, like even right now they're out there. The herds are in Alberta. They're herded up big time. They're 200 and 300 right now. So if you go out there in the morning and you're, you know, pretty close to them, you're going to hear them chippering back and forth all the time. So you can never go wrong ever with a cow and calf call. The only time I kind of shy away from a cow sound is when it's, you know, September 10th on. I'm kind of careful using a cow call after that because those bulls, they usually have a herd rounded up already, and the girls are now leading the whole tribe basically. Mm-hmm. So if you're walking down a game trail and you just willy-nilly throw out a cow call, those other girls that are over there hearing you, they're going to round up and they're going to take their bull over the next ridge. Just, it's one of those things where it's the new kid in school. You kind of have to pay your dues, you know, when you're a new kid in school before you're accepted into the little cliques. It's the same thing walking through the cow woods down the cow trail, making a cow sound. They're going to hear you 9 times out of 10. It's the girls that lead the pack and they're going to literally go out the back door on you. And then that bull's going to keep bugling to you, but now you've turned that bull into a runner. And we've all had that where they're going over the next ridge, but you're still bugling at you and you think, okay, I'm going to close the distance. I moved up 200 yards. You cow call to him again and he bugles again. But now he's 300 yards. Oh, yeah. Man, I got to move faster. So you cover another 250 yards, cow call to him again. Now he's 400 yards away. He bugles back. But now you're going, man, what do I got to do? Like, they keep going away. Put your cow call away. Yep. Switch to a bugle.
Okay.
Yep. And the only way to really turn those, you have to sound very, very aggressive, more so than what the bull they have already, for those cows to want to turn back and go, okay, dang, that dude sounds really awesome. Maybe we should give him a chance to go have a look at him. Oh, so that's the only way to turn that herd back around and stop that bull from going away and away.
So in that instance, I'm walking down the trailhead. I'm throwing cow calls out. They respond back to me. I do it again. The bull responds back to me again. But now all of a sudden, I keep it going, and I realize that they're walking away from me.
Yeah.
Pull your bugle tube out. Hammer that. Now, okay, now let's talk about that a little bit. In that scenario, what kind of bugle should we be doing?
I would be doing what's called the advertising bugle. So it's
that's the one we already went through previously.
Yep. It's basically one step up from your location bugle. The only difference is you're shortening it up just a little bit and you're growling at the end. So location bugle, there's no growl at the end, maybe just slightly, but nothing really aggressive. So that's your basic location. Now advertising, you're going to short it and you're going to growl. And a lot of times I like to growl at the start of it as well. So. So now you've got kind of more aggressive at the start, you go into that high note so they're hearing you, and then you finish it with that growl. And when you're out in the bush, really put everything you got into it. Like, try to sound as awesome as you can, because you got to remember, you're doing the advertising bugle because you're trying to advertise how awesome you are to the females. If they think you're awesome, they're going to come and have a look at you. If they think, oh, he sounds like a little spiker dink, they're not going to turn and come and look at you, right? So